This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We start today again in Provincetown, where cases linked to a 4th of July COVID cluster continue to grow. The latest data from the Barnstable County Department of Health and Environment show that more now than 900 people have tested positive for the coronavirus there, many of them fully vaccinated. Health officials suspect the highly contagious Delta variant is to blame. Now, the cluster has pushed the seaside town into the spotlight, for better for worse, and is providing health officials with kind of first-of-its-kind data on vaccines and an evolving pandemic. Here with more on the cluster and what it means more widely is WBUR health reporter Angus Chen. Angus, welcome back.
Hi, Tiziana. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with Provincetown. It's become a sort of de facto test case here in the U.S. for vaccines and the Delta variant. What are the public health officials learning from the growing cluster there?
A lot. I was learning a lot from this investigation, but there are probably a couple of important takeaways. The first really big one is that it's more important to be fully vaccinated than ever because it's clear that the Delta variant is infecting vaccinated people. But people just aren't getting as sick as they would be if they were unvaccinated. So the vaccine is really helping to keep people healthy and ultimately alive. The other thing that's important is that it's really looking like vaccinated people can get sick and they can get symptomatic from the Delta variant. And it looks like they have just as much virus in them as unvaccinated people who also get sick, again, with the Delta variant. So this suggests that vaccinated people can transmit the virus not only to unvaccinated people, but possibly even other fully vaccinated people as well.
So it all seems to underscore, Angus, that it's as much about what we don't know as what we do know. So, all right, bear with me. What are the known unknowns right now for science, scientists and health officials?
Yeah, there are definitely more questions than answers right now. I think that we've known that the Delta variant is more transmissible than like the Alpha variant or maybe the OG, the original coronavirus. But scientists are really trying to figure out how. So one possibility is that there are mutations in the Delta variant that make it more infectious. Here's Dr. Jacob Demu. He's an infectious disease specialist at MGH.
We're quite confident about that, actually. But what are the mutations that confer this property of increased transmissibility? We don't yet fully understand.
Yeah, so these mutations, they might have to do with something like a structural change in the spike protein of the coronavirus that helps it attack human cells or maybe evade the immune protection of the vaccine. We don't really know yet. And it may not even be just that. It could be that in the context of some of the parties that happened on Cape Cod, people were really closely packed together in bars or dance floors, and you're just getting hit with so much virus in those situations that the vaccine protection is just not enough to prevent you from getting sick at all. In the Mu's words, it might be like holding an umbrella in a hurricane. You know, you're kind of holding that umbrella, but the rain is hitting you from all sides.
All right.
So these are questions that, you know, scientists are still trying to understand.
Which raises, I mean, that is the lead into the question about masks then, Angus. So the CDC updates its mask guidance based on the Provincetown outbreak, recommending indoor masking for those who are vaccinated in high transmission areas. They did that last Monday, just shortly after Provincetown reinstated an indoor mask mandate. Friday, Governor Baker doesn't go as far, recommending indoor mask usage among vaccinated people when they're personally at higher risk for severe COVID or going to be with higher risk individuals. So what is the latest data on masking and how it affects Delta spread?
I think you just gave the latest policy update. I mean, the first thing is really to check with your local health department to see if there is or isn't a mask mandate. If there is one, you know, you should follow it. And if there is no mandate where you live, it's sort of up to you to decide which recommendation you feel the most comfortable with. When it comes to the science, I think that the science is unchanged on masking. And that's pretty clear. Like, you know, masking and distancing can help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And if you're not comfortable, you know, as a fully vaccinated person being in certain situations without a mask, then just wear a mask. I mean, the CDC and the DPH are asking people to weigh their risks with these recommendations. And they're saying if you're in a place with lots of coronavirus flying around, you know, that one of those high transmission areas, consider wearing a mask, not just for your sake, but for everyone around you. And if you are yourself at a higher risk of complications, you know, again, consider wearing a mask to protect yourself and sort of make yourself feel more comfortable and not take any chances with the coronavirus. You know, I would say, you know, one really important thing with these new guidance is that the game is changing for vaccinated people. So here's MGH's Lemieux again.
The vaccines clearly are not a force field. They're not armor that builds an impenetrable defense against infection. And symptomatic disease is clearly possible. So I think it's a paradigm shift and just forces us to reorient around the new reality in the era of Delta.
Yeah, I think, you know, before we were sort of looking at these recommendations, before we learned these things about Delta and thinking, if you're fully vaccinated, you know, you can be in these indoor dense gatherings and still feel pretty safe. That seems like it might not be true anymore. You know, outdoors, highly ventilated areas, that still seems like it's okay. But you know, we know that these vaccines do keep you healthy out of the hospital. They help to keep you out of the hospital. But for me personally, when I'm thinking about this, it's like, why jump into a risky situation like a crowded bar? Not that we're lucky enough to have the data that we have now. And I'm fully vaccinated, but I don't want to be sick and achy and forced to quarantine for 2 weeks or, you know, or anything else when I know I could have just been a little bit more careful and follow those recommendations that the CDC is giving now.
All right. So, Angus, I'm going to ask you to sit tight. I will come back to you in a couple of minutes, but I'm going to bring another voice in here. Jagpreet Chathwal is a lead investigator of the COVID-19 simulator, which models the potential future of coronavirus infection and death based on behavior changes. He's also a senior scientist at the Mass General Institute for Technology Assessment and an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School. Professor Chathwal, I think you like to be called Jag. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Jack, thanks for being here. So I actually kind of want to start with the, you have a catbird seat I'll never have. Have you ever modeled anything like COVID-19 before? Is it weird or different, or is it just something like you've seen before, only bigger?
Nothing close even. Like, this is changing on a weekly basis. So modeling is complex. What we are learning is changing. We have to update the models. There's so much visibility, so much impact we can see with these models. So again, this is a very unique situation for everyone, any of the modelers who are working on COVID.
So what are you seeing for the next few months for Massachusetts in terms of infections and deaths, and what are you modeling to get those numbers?
Yeah, and that's a very difficult question, especially for Massachusetts, because a lot depends upon what we will be doing in the near future. On one hand, it's possible that we can see continued increase in cases for some time. If we continue with existing patterns and existing behaviors, like as we were hearing earlier, no masks and clubs, restaurants crowded, that will definitely lead to more transmission. However, if we see this as a warning sign and people start behaving differently, if they modify their behavior, more masks, less social distancing, we can bring down the cases and maintain at a lower level, as we had seen for several weeks, several months in the past. The good thing with Massachusetts is that we have a very high vaccination rate. That works in our favor. So even some change in behavior can lead to a lot of good results.
So one of the things that's on my mind a lot, Jag, is the fact that if one is vaccinated, the risks from catching the Delta variant are not the same as if one is unvaccinated. Angus alluded to it, Angus Chen, a couple of minutes ago, you know, lower rates of hospitalization by a lot, lower rates of death significantly. Do we take those kinds of things into account, severity based on vaccination and how that changes what we model? Or is that level of granularity just too much?
Well, absolutely. Those factors go in the models. We see that the cases will rise in Massachusetts, but the number of deaths, we don't expect them to rise as they had been in the past because of the vaccination. So people would be getting infected, but majority of those infections now would be in a mild setting.
So then that raises another question, which is the unknowns. I mean, obviously, you can't model the world and all possible outcomes. How are you thinking about the concern of additional variants. I know that one of the things we hear from public health specialists is we want to reduce transmission even among the vaccinated of the Delta variant because it could lead to other variants that might be much worse. Are you modeling for that? And what are headlines that everyday people ought to know?
Yeah, not at this stage. We are still figuring out how to model Delta. We are not looking at what's going to come in the future. We don't know that.
What makes it hard?
The unknowns, what the transmission will be, the behavior, that's going to be another factor, how people will be reacting to a given situation. We and that changes every time we see cases either going down or going up. So modeling that behavior is challenging. And a lot depends upon these behavior. Vaccination, we can predict to some extent what is the vaccination rate, how many people we expect will be getting vaccinated in the next 1 month. So that is relatively easy. The difficulty when it comes to mass, these like people going to restaurants, crowded places, large gatherings, these are difficult behavioral factors that we cannot predict in advance.
Based on your modeling, should we have a new indoor mask mandate in the Commonwealth?
Well, absolutely. It will help in any case. We know that masks reduce transmission, masks save lives. It's that simple. So, and coming into that confusion of if this is hotspot or not, it's not a hotspot, I think we should keep it simple. Until we are done, at least for the time being, we should all keep wearing masks. So that gives a very clear message to the community. That's important.
And that is Professor Jagpreet Chatwal. He's a lead investigator of the COVID-19 simulator, which models the potential future of coronavirus infection and death based on behavior changers. He's also a senior scientist at the Mass General Institute for Technology Assessment and an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So still with us, WBUR health reporter Angus Chen. And Angus, the message there was pretty clear. Keep it simple. Have everybody mask up. What are your reactions to that?
I think that's not a bad idea. I mean, it's clear that masking is something that we've all been able to do in the past. It's something that is an easy, immediate intervention that can save lives right away. But I think it's also tough. I mean, like, we were just going through a year and a half or more of this extremely difficult pandemic, you know, just starting to feel like things are getting better and now getting this sort of whiplash and sort of maybe feeling like we might have to go back to some of those restrictions that we had in the beginning of the pandemic. And I completely understand that's not going to be easy. That's like going to be tough for people. It's going to be demoralizing maybe, but I think that, you know, following the science, following the evidence, and doing, you know, some of these simple things that can be done to improve public health and save lives is an important thing to do. And right now, you know, it's kind of up to local health departments to choose whether or not you're going to put a mandate in. But we also, as individuals, can make that choice ourselves. So just put that mask on, even if there is no mandate, and say, if I'm indoors, I'm going to be around other people, you know, I can take this individual responsibility to prevent the spread of coronavirus.
All right. That is WBUR health reporter Angus Chen. Angus, I appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thank you.